And this will be the last message in regards to some questions and thoughts around forgiveness. And then next week we'll be back to, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be back there. I think that's where we'll be. But that's opening a word of prayer, and then we'll have a look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the day, and Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask that you will minister to our heart and souls, and that, Lord, you will do your work in and through us. And Lord, whatever it may be that we need to hear, let us hear it this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were here last week, you would know that we looked at a couple of questions about forgiveness. And we looked at that question that a lot of people ask and think is, if I have truly forgiven somebody, does it mean that when I think about what they've done, I won't feel that hurt anymore? And that's a legitimate question. You think that if I've truly forgiven, surely I'm not going to feel sad or hurt when I think back on those things. And I trust I explained to you that that may not happen very quickly. You still will feel that hurt when you remember those things. The key is to not allow it to turn into resentment and then bitterness, and then it becomes a sin in yourself as well. And so that was one of the questions. And then another one was, how can I get rid of these feelings and not turn bitter? And I gave some practical things for that that I'm not going to repeat this morning. But today I want to look at just one thing. Two questions, but they really mean the same thing. And that is, to truly forgive someone, does that mean that everything must go back to the way it was before the person sinned? You know, that's a question that is often asked. Or another way someone might put this is, does true forgiveness mean there are no consequences for the sin that someone has committed? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. And let me say straight off the bat that for most offences that we suffer as believers amongst one another, amongst brethren or our family and even in the world, for most offences, things should go back to the way they were before when we have forgiven that person. With most cases, that is the reality. You'd have to... I just picked out a random percentage here, but I'm thinking I would have to say at least 99% of the times when I'm hurt by someone or something and I've forgiven, things should be able to go back to the way that they were previously. If you told a lie about me, there's no reason for when I've forgiven you that everything goes back to normal. I may have a few little... question marks, but everything should go back to the way that they were. But as I said last week, for example, if you murdered my wife, well, then that'd be a very different scenario, wouldn't it, to telling a lie about me. There would be lots of consequences if you murdered Linda, right? The law of the land would demand that you go to jail. That's the first thing. And I think it's good to note that when Paul was before the Roman authorities facing accusations against himself, he said, "For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." And so the apostle Paul understood the civil judgment of his time that was there in his country. And he acknowledged that if he has committed something that is worthy of death, he believed that he deserved it. And that's something that we have to keep in mind when it comes to offences. There are certain civil things that we have to accept as the law of the land that are consequences. And if you had killed Linda, well, one of them would be you would have to go to jail. But, you know, there would be other consequences as well. You know, if you came and said, look, can I borrow your gun? I don't think you're going to get my gun, all right? Yeah, that's just one of the consequences. If you said, would you like me to look after your children? I'd say, you know, when they're young. No, no, I don't think that. That'd be one of the consequences. So depending on the sin and how grave it is and the person, well, there are times when consequences should be there. But as I said, the majority of sins that we have to suffer and forgive, there shouldn't be consequences. But it's those few times that I want us to look at, those times when there is a requirement for consequences and things that can't go back to normal. Is it true forgiveness when these things are applied? And that's what I want to explain to you today. The fact is, there are times the most merciful thing that we can do for someone is to make sure there are consequences for their actions. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think of that. We hear a lot about how God is a merciful God, and it's wonderful that He is a merciful God. You know, we're told in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. It's good to have a God who has got so lots of mercy to give out. We're told in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And the key when we're considering how we are to act when we have been sinned against is we need to act like God and be merciful towards them. We always need to act like God in that way. Now, what does that really mean then? You know, if you've had any sort of, AWANA, that's it. If you had any sort of AWANA background, some of you may know what I'm talking about, but you'll know that mercy often is described as not giving us the punishment we deserve. And that's a nice and beautiful way to explain mercy. God doesn't give us the punishment we deserve. But I think there is probably another term or explanation of mercy that probably helps us a little bit more to understand how God acts. And that is, mercy can also be rescuing us from our most miserable circumstance. God will look at us and see our most miserable or troubling thing, and out of mercy, He will save us from that. Now, the most basic and easiest way to explain that is just say, I'm a doctor, which would be a scary thing, and you're rushed into emergency because you've had a splinter in your finger. And as I'm noticing your splinter, I've realized you're having a heart attack as well. All right, you might be more concerned about the splinter because it's hurting you. You want me to work on that. But the most merciful thing that I could do for you is to ignore the splinter and concentrate on your heart attack. All right, the most merciful thing is to rescue you from your most troublesome or miserable circumstance. To ignore the heart attack and just concentrate, oh well, they're only here for the splinter, so that's all I'm going to worry about. That would not be very merciful, particularly if I removed the splinter and then you died, all right, from that heart attack. And sadly, we often cry out to God to fix little splinters in our life, but He's more concerned with fixing the greatest needs that we have. And from God's Word, we see that God is He always puts our spiritual condition before our physical condition, our financial condition, or any other condition as well. He always puts our spiritual condition first. That's what a merciful God does. And what I want to do is expand on this first, how God takes the and shows mercy towards us in what is the most miserable circumstance we're in. I just want to expand on that a little bit, and then you'll see how this applies to forgiveness and consequences. All right? For example, what is the worst condition a person can be in. And I know what you're going to say. You will say, lost and on their way to hell. That is the worst condition a person could ever be in. And God, out of His mercy, will do anything or allow anything to keep a person from going to hell. And when Linda's father was, for years, he was not interested in the gospel, wasn't interested in salvation or heaven or anything like that, until he was diagnosed with possible bowel cancer. And then everything started to change and he started to think about things. And I can still remember the nights when Linda and I would be praying for him, and we prayed along these lines, Lord, we don't want to see Dad die, but if having bowel cancer is what it takes to bring him to salvation, we're happy with that. And that was our prayer. We didn't say, please don't let him have bowel cancer. We say, do whatever it takes for him to be saved. And God was merciful to him. God allowed him to have bowel cancer. And that's made him think of eternity. And he called upon the Lord to save him. And yes, that bowel cancer took his life. But I'm sure he's in glory now without one regret that he got that, because God was merciful to him to confront him with eternity and gave him the opportunity to repent. The most unmerciful thing God could have done is just taken him without any opportunity to face eternity like he was. The most unmerciful thing that we could have done as children is to pray that he wasn't sick, because it brought about his salvation. But let's go one further. What's the worst condition a Christian can be in? Well, the worst condition that a Christian can be in is to be cut off from fellowship with God due to their unrepented sin. That is the worst condition that we as Christians can be in. Cut off from fellowship from God because of our unrepentant sin. And that's why the most merciful thing a church can do for someone is to confront them and their sinful lifestyle and even cut them off from fellowship from them because they are rebelling against God. And God, out of His mercy, will often allow things to come into their life or our life to shake us up and get us right with Him. That is the most merciful thing that He can do. Not just when we're rebelling and we're refusing to repent, He just makes sure everything is good in our life. No, the most merciful thing to do is to chasten us and to bring us back to Him. Now, having said that, what's the most important thing for a believer who is in fellowship with God? Okay? What's the most important thing? Well, for us to grow in Christ and be kept from sinning. That is the most important thing. And the most merciful thing that God can do for us is to do whatever it takes to help us in order to do this. To stay on the right track and stay in fellowship with Him. And this is the key when it comes to forgiving others and what we should do. That means the most merciful thing that we can do for a person at times is to allow them to suffer the consequences of their actions to keep them from going down that path again and getting cut off from fellowship with God, or to keep them from circumstances that would cause them great temptation. Sometimes the most merciful thing to do is to allow them to suffer consequences, to keep them from the temptation or going that way again. So it has nothing to do with punishing them or making them pay for what they've done. And it has everything to do with being merciful to them and helping them not to sin in that way again. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think that times the most merciful thing God can do for you and for myself is to allow us to suffer the consequences of our sin so we won't do those things again. Do you ever stop to think that's God being merciful? Sometimes we think that's God being scary or mean. But it's never that he wants to punish us. It's never that he wants us to suffer a little bit for what we've done. No, it's because he loves us. He knows that there are times when the most merciful thing to do and to keep us from hurting ourselves in the future is to sometimes have short-term circumstances, sometimes long-term circumstances, to keep us from going back to those ways again. And so when we're dealing with other people who have hurt us, it's not a matter of just forgiving and forgetting. It's a matter of forgiving and then doing the most merciful thing that you can do for them in order to help them from not sinning in that way again. Now, as I said, probably 99% of the time, it is to forgive, to show that they're accepted back and they're comforted and there's sweet fellowship amongst you. 99% of the time, that would be probably how it works. But it does depend on the sin and what consequences may be needed. Now, let me show you two examples from God's Word where it may look like God was being mean or punishing people for their sin after he had forgiven them, but in reality all he was doing was being merciful towards them. The first one is with Adam and Eve. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. You know, they were in a privileged position. They could talk with God. They could eat of the tree of life and live forever. They were going to be able to spend that time with God without sin. But we know that they sinned and they took of the forbidden fruit. Now, after that, did God forgive them? Well, we know he forgave them because he slew that innocent animal, which I believe was probably a lamb, as the first picture of what Christ would do for us. And he used the skins of that animal to cover them as a sign that their sins were forgiven. But out of mercy, God says this in Genesis 3:16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." That was to keep her in line, the woman, because she was the one that went first and sinned. That was the merciful thing that God could do. So when you're hear about submitting to your husband, understand that that's God being merciful. He understands how a woman's mind works, and I don't want to get into too much trouble here, but God knew what women needed. And under Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." So out of mercy, he said, "Adam, you're going to have to work hard for the rest of your life. That I'm going to keep you busy working." That's the most merciful thing that he could do for men. It's not good for men to be idle. We need to be busy, otherwise we get ourselves in trouble. Then verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." And so we see here there were a number of consequences that came as a result of them disobeying God. Things didn't go back to the way they were after they had sinned against God. Now, was God punishing them? No. At first, it could appear that that was the case. Or was God being merciful? And there are a number of ways that he was being merciful to Adam and Eve. Now that they had sinned, the temptation would have been to live a life without God and do as they please. Remember, their greatest need now is to continue in fellowship with God. They've been restored. Their greatest need now is to continue in fellowship with God and not to go down that track again. If God had provided everything for them as He had been, if life had just been completely beautiful and at ease, well then now with their sinful nature that is within, that would have just led them to great corruption. And so because of that, God understood that man needed to be kept busy. They needed to realize that life was hard without God, so that they would continually go back to God and say, "We need your help." That's what He did for Adam and Eve, and that's what He's done for us. But specifically for Adam and Eve, He then knew that now that they had sinned, they could not partake of the tree of life and live forever. Why? That would not be a merciful thing. Imagine being able to live forever, but now you've got all the aches and pains because of a sin-ridden body. You've got that sinful flesh and nature and having to deal with all of those things. Life really would have been, if they live forever with this sin-ridden body, it would be miserable. I want to live forever, I want eternal life, but I don't want it with all the pain that comes along with it and all the trouble of having to, all the torment of my sinful nature. I want to be in heaven without all those troubles. God knew the most merciful thing He could do for Adam and Eve was to keep them away from that tree of life, and so things didn't go back to normal. They were told to go out of that Garden of Eden. Were they forgiven? Yes. But God was merciful and treated them differently. Yeah, another example is King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba. You know, did God forgive him for that sin? And the answer is yes. But were things back to normal after that, or were there consequences? Well, there were consequences because God loved David and was going to be merciful to him. God knew David's weakness, for starters. He also knew that David had a very powerful position in the land, and if kept unchecked, he could go down that road time after time after time. And so out of mercy for David, He kept him on what you would call a very short lead. David, because you have great power and I know your weaknesses, I'm going to make sure that you don't get very much free rein from now on. That was the merciful thing. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you can go there quickly, verse 10, or I can read it to you. It says, this is what God said to David. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." So David sins. David confesses his sin and is forgiven by God. And then he says, the sword, because of what you've done, the sword shall never depart from thy house. And you think, oh, I thought he had forgiven him. Well, was this a little way of punishing him? No, this was a way of protecting him from going down that same way again. You see, he knew what David needed, and David needed to always be relying on the Lord. And so he said, I'm going to make it so your family is in so much trouble that you're never going to have peace within your family. You're going to have to keep coming to me for help. You're not going to have time to stray anymore, David. That is the most merciful thing I can do for you. If he just, everything was sweet and nice and there was no dramas, he would have fell and fell and fell in the same way. There were earthly consequences that remained with David all the days of his life. And sometimes when someone commits a sin, it is not wise, nor is it appropriate, nor is it merciful to restore the person to where they were before. different sins require different consequences depending on the sin and the person. You know, if you said an unkind word to me and I forgave you, but I said, but there's long time, there's lifetime consequences for that. Out of mercy, I'm going to make sure that whatever, you know. That would be ridiculous. That would just be me hiding my unwillingness to truly forgive you and restore you back with something as ridiculous and simple as that. But if, for example, I allowed you to look after my children when they were little and I came home and you had been so frustrated with them, you had beaten them up with a baseball bat, all right? Well, that's a whole different circumstance, isn't it? For one, there is the law of the land. And I need to hand you over to the law of the land because there are certain things there and let the law of the land deal you, even though I have forgiven you. But it's certainly, as I said before, the most merciful thing for my children and for you would not to let you have to look after them again, right? If they're that bad that you felt like you needed to hit them with a baseball bat, the most merciful thing is to not put you in that tempting situation again. And so I wouldn't allow you to do it. And that's what we need to consider. You know, I think that the most difficult circumstances where this came in my life, where as a leadership we had to really work out what on earth we were going to do. It was in a previous church, and there was a man who was involved in church ministries, children's ministries, and we became aware that outside of the church, thankfully, that he had done some things to children that no man should do. It's probably the nicest way of putting it. And so the question is, what do you do? As individuals with that man, and as a church, how do you act? Well, you know, we understood that the law of the land said certain things needed to happen. And so we told him, you need to go to the police and tell the police what you've done, and then take whatever consequences come. That was the most merciful thing we believe could have happened for him. And he did that. And he went with a repentant heart and he acknowledged what he did and he took his punishment of 3 or 4 years in prison for that. And I think that was the most merciful thing for him, to shake him up to never do that again. But what happens when he comes out of the prison? How do we as a church then treat him? That was very difficult because that's something that we had to deal with as well. You know, do we say we want nothing to do with you despite him being repentant for what he has done? Do we ignore what he's done? What is the most merciful thing to do? Well, we believe that the most merciful thing we could do for the church and him was to make sure everyone knew his crime. And not, I think everyone knew it anyway, but that was a way of everyone keeping him accountable. He was on a very short leash from then on. He was being kept accountable by everybody. And also, and this is just a no-brainer, the most merciful thing to do was he had no contact with children in any ministry or in any form. Yes, he could come to the church, but he is not to have any contact with any children. That was the most merciful thing. Now, some might turn around and say, what, I thought you'd forgiven them. Why are you treating him so harshly? No, the reality is we were treating him very lovingly, protecting him, protecting others, being merciful. You see, there are consequences for sin. Sometimes it's only small. It lasts a few seconds, a few days. Sometimes it lasts a lifetime. And that is, my friends, the most merciful thing. It depends how should we act when we're forgiven. It depends on what is the most merciful thing. Sometimes forgiveness means there are no consequences. Other times, forgiveness means there are. And so when we're dealing with people that we have to forgive, think of what is their most important need at that time. If they're unsaved, they need to be saved. How should I act in a manner that could bring them to salvation? If they are unrepentant sinner, how should I act to bring them to repentance? If they are a repentant sinner, but they have acted in a manner, what is the best way to keep them on track and not go down that road again? And I believe that will help you understand why sometimes people have to act in certain ways, though they have forgiven someone. And maybe help you to know how you should act as well towards people that you have forgiven. Mercy is the key. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are rich in mercy. And Lord, you have not given us the punishment we deserved many times. Each one of us could not count the amount of times you have not given us the punishment we deserve. Yet, Lord, we often don't think of the times where you have allowed things and to happen to keep us from our most miserable state and to protect us from falling away or continuing to sin. And, Lord, I pray that we won't think you're mean or unkind, but, Lord, you'll show us that this is your way of showing mercy and helping and caring for us. Help us to do the same for each other. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.